Man, you may be seated. Great to see you out this morning. Man, powerful worship, standing in the presence of God. Isn't that exciting that as we come to Him and in prayer and praise, that we're stepping into the very presence of Almighty God. Amen? Just a powerful time together, and thank the Lord for the safety through the storm last night. I guess some damage around town, but we're able to be here. So good to see you here this morning. There was a man who lived years ago who was very, very rich. He had 10 children, 3 daughters and 7 sons. They all lived on this sprawling estate with servant hands and all. They enjoyed spending time together, but one day the estate was attacked and all the livestock and servant hands were killed. On top of that, a terrible storm hit and wiped out anyone and anything left. The children were having a family party, and another terrible storm hit the house in which they were gathered, and all the children and their families were killed. You may have already guessed that that man was Job. Think about that. These were actual events that happened in the life of an individual. You can read about it in Job chapter 1. And on top of all of those tragedies, get this, he suffered boils all over his body. Painful boils. I think I've had one boil in my whole life, and it was like, oh my goodness. Man, talk about painful. He had them all over his body. And then on top of all of that, his wife told him to curse God and die. Talk about hardship. We all face difficulties, though, don't we? In fact, right here, even this morning, we can just go around and we all have, most all of us would have something that we're facing or going through, some difficulty, some challenge that we're going through. In fact, in Job chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For affliction does not come from the dust, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. But man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." You watch a fire and wood burning and so on, and it just the sparks go up. You can't stop it, right? Just like when a fire's burning, sparks go up. That's the way trouble is. Job says that's the way trouble is in our lives. You're just gonna face some challenges as you go through life. Now your difficulty may not be quite as severe as Job's, but we all face difficulties, don't we? And even now we have burdens that are present here this morning. We could go around and say, "Hey, what are you going through? What's going on in your life?" There may be a few say, "Hey, life is good, man. It's great. No problems right now." But you've gone through things. You will face some things. But we could go through our congregation here this morning and, "Yeah, man, I'm going through a real challenge. There's facing some difficulties." Some are evident. We talk about them. Some are the silent request types. You haven't talked about them yet or haven't told anybody. It's just something that's going on in your heart or something you're dealing with that nobody else knows about. But you have people praying for you, or you've asked for prayer maybe. So this morning we're going to continue in our series through 2 Corinthians. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 if you're not already there. It's a book of reconciliation. And last week we learned that God, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 7, God is a God of all comfort. God is there to comfort. He's a God of all comfort who comforts us in all our difficulties. And there's even purpose we learned that as He comforts us in our difficulties, He does that so that we can comfort others with the comfort that we've received from God. That was last week. If you missed it, you can go to our website and fbctroy.com, and you can go to Listen Now and look up last week's message and kind of get caught up here. But we come to chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, and Paul writes, For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely on, not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Here's our take-home thought this morning. And that is, life is hard, but God can be trusted. Life is hard, but God can be trusted. When you experience the difficulties in your life, it is important to remember that God is for you. Listen, folks, God loves you. God, in His eternal love, He recognized that sin was not the best thing for us. He did not want us to continue in sin because sin brings death. There are consequences to sin. And so, you know what He did? In His love for you, He sent His one and only Son to die on the cross, that if you would believe in Him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of God. God so loved you, you can put your name in there, that He died for you so that you can live eternally with Him and have victory over sin and not live in the darkness of sin. He provides salvation for you if you would but believe. God is for you. He loves you. He's like a coach who wants you to become your best. In my junior year of high school, I had been involved in wrestling for several years. My junior year, I just so happened to wrestle the same weight class as the best wrestler on the team. So I was kind of in his shadow. Now, I learned a lot from this guy, but there was one practice where it was the practice before the tournament on that next day, big tournament. And this guy didn't show up. And I guess he quit the team because he never showed up again. But he didn't show up, and the coach was like, "Hey, what's going on with this guy?" Nobody knew. He said, "All right." And he looks at me and he says, "Hey, you want to wrestle tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah, cool. Yeah, man, great. I get to wrestle in this big tournament that our school hosted." And it's like, man, this is great. Well, I wrestled 112 at that time, 112 weight class, all right? Well, I got on the scale that day, and I was 6 pounds overweight. It's like, ugh. And he says, "Well, if you want to wrestle, you got to lose the weight." I had to lose 6 pounds in one day. Coach said, "If you want to wrestle, got to do it." And so he put me through the paces, and I lost 6 pounds in one day. Got on the scale. I actually was 1 pound underweight. The coach wanted me to wrestle. He wanted me, someone put it this way, a coach is someone who makes you to do what you don't want to do to become the person that you want to be. Oh man, all the running, all the sweating, all the spitting, couldn't eat anything for 24 hours. It's like, how am I going to do this? Well, if you want to wrestle, you know, here's what you got to do. He was for me. He was for me. But you know what? You need to remember that God is for you. Like a coach. He wants the best for you. And He wants you to become your best. Now notice that Paul in this text takes the principles of chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and he applies them to a very specific life situation. Last week he gave us the principles of God's a God of comfort. He comforts us in our difficulties so that we might be able to comfort others. And it's like in verses 8 through 11 that we're talking about here today. He says, now get this. Here's what happened to me. And he comes to verse 8. And he's illustrating the principles of last week as to how it played out in his life situation, in a specific life situation. Verse 8, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brothers." In other words, we want you to know about this situation, "of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Here's some lessons. Here's the first lesson here this morning out of this text, based on this verse. Paul is speaking here of the first lesson is, it's good to share the burdens of difficulties with others. It's good to share the burdens of difficulties with other people, with one another. That's good. And that's what Paul is doing. Paul is speaking here of an objective incident that caused them, and I say them because it was his ministry team, at least Timothy was involved, if you go back to verse 1, it caused them to be concerned about whether they would actually survive whatever ordeal or whatever persecution it was that they were facing. We don't know what that was. We can maybe guess a little bit by going to chapter 11. I mentioned that last week, remember that? In chapter 11, it has this list of all of these things. So it may have been one of those things that he went through. Just terrible difficulties. It may have been something totally different. But it was of such a nature that he says here, we despaired of life itself. It meant meaning that we thought we were going to die. He wanted the Corinthians to know about this incident. This affliction was a phlipsis. Remember that? We talked about that last week. It was a tight squeeze. It was pressing in upon him. It was a very difficult situation. And they thought they might even die. The word despaired here of life means that they saw no way out. He wasn't talking about, we started worrying a little bit, or we were depressed, or we were in despair. He points out here that they were utterly burdened beyond their strength. It was beyond human ability. There was nothing more they could do. He was at the end of his rope, and his feet were being singed by the fires of death. Didn't know what was going to happen. We thought we were going to die. He points out here that they were utterly burdened beyond our strength. It was something about which they had to depend upon God. They could see no way out through their own efforts, through their own strength. My point here is, you don't have to go it alone. When you're going through your difficulty, whatever it is, you don't have to go it alone when you're going through difficulties. It's good to share with others the nature of your struggle so that the burden can be shared. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to know every nitty-gritty, gory detail about what you're going through. You know, you don't have to always spill your guts. I'm just saying it's good when you are burdened and you're struggling, it's good to say, hey, man, I got something. I need some help. I need your prayers. And to talk about that. It's good when you are utterly burdened beyond your strength to share that with others. And you can do that by asking for prayer, right? You can do it through prayer. Hey, you know, pray for me. And I don't know if it's because of getting older. I hope maybe it's because of growing and getting wiser. And if I can pass this on to you, I think that I've missed out in years past on the importance of prayer. I'm more and more seeing the value of, you know what, if God is real and He's the God of all creation, He invites me to take whatever this situation is, whether it's my own or whether it's somebody else's, to go before God in prayer. And I'm trying to get in the habit, if someone says, hey, pray for me, that whether I do right then with them or I say, I'll do that, to just take a moment and pray. Right then. Just pray. Because I don't want to forget to pray. If I've got to tell them I'm going to pray, I don't want it to lie, right? I want to tell them right. I want to do it right then or put them on a list so that I can. And if I don't or are not able to do that, I at least know that I have prayed for that person. because of the importance of prayer. And I want to mention that and even in a greater way in a moment. But so we can share and bear one another's burdens through prayer, but also through practicality, through personal involvement, through physical help. Just yesterday, Pastor Kevin Kinnett and Janine and Riley and Victoria, he pastored here he was an associate pastor for 6 years and was involved in the ministry here for about 12 years. They're moving back to the area. And I just contacted several and kind of let the word be known. They're moving and all. And we had 15 people show up to unload the truck. It took us about an hour and 15 minutes. And it was like, wow. And they were so blessed by that, by your involvement. That's a way in which we bear one another's burdens. And when you share that, you can see that there can be that physical help for one another, but also emotional support. You know, hey, how you doing? Is there anything that I can do to help you? When you hear of these things, what can we do? How can we help? Or maybe it's networking, getting others involved. You know, hey, I don't know what I can do, but there's somebody over here that might be able to help in some way. So those are ways in which when you share with others your burden, the way in which God can, remember last week we said God comforts through His people. And that can happen in this way. It's such a blessing when you help others and when you're helped by others. And you know what? When they help you, they are blessed. In fact, I had one guy this morning say, hey man, thanks for asking me to help. We had a lot of fun. We had fun unloading a moving truck. Go figure. But there's the blessing. There's the blessing. Well, here's another lesson. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Here's a second lesson, and that is, in difficulties, your primary dependence must be upon the Lord. Yes, it's good to share with others and have them come alongside, but your first response should be to cry out to God. That would apply to the hangnail as well as the Holocaust. And I strongly encourage you to make it your habit to cry out to God as your first response when you face a difficulty. Don't get into the habit of saying, I can't believe that this is happening to me again. Have you ever said that? I know I have. Oh, I never get a break. Have you ever said that? I know I have. And instead of responding like that, to say, oh God, help me. Paul thought that they had received the sentence of death. God had purpose. And Paul points out that purpose. Thinking that they had received the sentence of death, he literally thought that the judgment of death had been made upon him with no acquittal. It's like the judge slammed down the gavel and said, guilty! And you're deserving of death! And there's no way out! That's what that phrase means here. He felt as though he had received the sentence of death with no acquittal. It was extreme. He said in verse 9, it was to make us, we received the sentence of death, but it was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Now, whether God would spare their lives or not, that's not the issue here. The issue was that God could even raise them from the dead if they were to die. Paul was expressing his dependence upon God in this very difficult situation. It makes me think of Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? And God, King Nebuchadnezzar got this bright idea to build this statue of himself, most probably, and just really tall, taller than this building here. And he gathered all the people around and he says, when you hear the music, I want you to bow down and worship my statue. And so, boom, 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 and music plays, and all the people bow down, and then some guy comes up and rats out Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, there's these three Hebrew guys over here. They're not bowing down to your statue. Well, he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Come on, bring those guys over here. He says, talks to them, and he says, hey, guys. Says, I don't know if you misunderstood or you didn't hear the music or whatever. We're going to play the music again. And when the music plays, I want you to bow down to my statue. If you don't, and whoever does not is going to be thrown into a fiery furnace and die. So let's get ready to strike up the band. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, oh, wait, no. No. We can't do that. We worship the one true God. And the God whom we serve, Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. We're not going to bow down to your statue. And He can deliver us. He will deliver us out of your hand. But if not... In other words, they're saying, if God so chooses not to deliver us and we happen to die, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Well, the king becomes infuriated. And he says, all right, I'll show you. And he says, heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it has ever been heated before. And throw these guys in there. And it was so hot that the guys that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire, it was so hot that the guys that threw them in were killed. They died because of the heat of the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar was able to look somehow into that fiery furnace, and he looked and he saw not just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walking around in the fire, but he saw one like the Son of God. Who protected them, watched over them, and they survived the fire. Even if our lives would be taken, we will not bow because we believe God. It's all in God's hands. That's the extent to which you and I must trust the Lord. Paul here believed that even if he had died, God had a greater plan, and that plan might include raising him from the dead. He believed that. And that's the extent to which we must trust the Lord. God, get into the habit of crying out to God, asking for His help in any moment of need. Now, sometimes it's just a quiet prayer of, God, help me figure this out. Give me some wisdom in this situation. It may be a matter of looking for your lost wallet, you know, instead of like, can't believe it. No, God, help me in this situation. Or maybe, God, give me patience as I teach my child how to tie their shoes, you know. God, help me. Give me patience. But on occasion, it may be when you are facing dire straits, a severe phlepsis, that dreaded phone call in the middle of the night. God, help me. It may be crying out to God when the temptation is so great that you can't hardly stand it. God, help me overcome whatever it is that you're being tempted to do. Because I can't overcome it in my own strength. Maybe pleading with the Lord when the pain is unbearable. Have you ever faced that? Some of us have. Like, God, help me. Just cry out to God in that situation. It may simply be sobbing at the feet of Jesus when you're brokenhearted. Let's make it our habit to cry out to God for help in our time of need. In difficulties, your primary dependence must be upon God. That's your greatest hope. Your greatest hope. Here's another lesson. Look at verse 10. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will deliver us again. Here's the lesson. You can trust the Lord to do His will. You can trust the Lord to do His will. He delivered us. You can trust the Lord to do His will and to do what is best for you, based upon what God did in the past. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. That's past tense. He delivered us. Now, Paul had faith that God would deliver them in the present as well as, what does he say? Again, right? God delivered us and He can do it again. According to Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The NIV puts it, substance and evidence. That's what faith is. Faith isn't just this blind, I just kind of hope it happens. No, it's substance and evidence. What is that? It's based upon what God says to be true, and then you act on it. That's what faith is. You know and hear what God says to be true, and then you live in light of that. If God said, if you repent of your sins and come to Him in saving faith, you will be saved. Is that true? Did you do that? Then you are saved. You see? That's believing what God... And now I'm going to live in light of the truth of my salvation. So one aspect of faith is the fact that God has worked in the past, and you've seen that in His Word. You think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think of Daniel in the lion's den. You think of Paul in this situation. God has worked in the past, and you know what? You've probably seen God work in your life sometime in the past already, right? And if He has done that in the past, and even in your own life, as He did in the Scriptures, He can do that now. And He can do it again, according to His will. Now, I say that, because God instructs us in James chapter 4. I just want to emphasize this, that in James chapter 4, verses 13 and 15, it says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." You must always bring God's will into your understanding of how He works in your life. Even Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Right? Don't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. But you can always be assured that God is at work for your good and His glory. For your good. Even Jesus. Oh, man, I don't want to go through this. He knew He was going to the cross. He knew that He was going to suffer and die on the cross. And yet, He said, "Not my will, but your will be done," because there was a greater need to be met. And there was joy set before Him as He endured the cross to sit at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Be assured that whatever it is you face, it is for your good. And in the moment, that's hard, right? Because you're going through, man, this is tough. And you're going through that difficult situation and realize, now, God is at work for my good. It's just like losing that 6 pounds. I mean, it's like, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? Well, I could wrestle. And I was able to do that. It was for my good. And so whatever it is, God, in the same way, whatever it is, it doesn't seem good in the moment, but that's where faith comes in. Because that's what He tells you. It's for your good, and it's for His glory, right? And so you have faith. That's what faith is. God only allows what's best for you based upon His will. That is a faith statement. That's what we have to believe at the moment of the flipsis. When you become angry about your circumstances, in essence, you're becoming angry with God. Now that convicts my heart. Because I know that there are times where I'm just like, I can't believe it. Again? And it convicts my heart to think that when I do that, I'm really becoming angry with God. Because God, whatever it is, has allowed this for my good, to help me grow through it, or for whatever other reason, there are several reasons why that may be, for my good and His glory. And when you trust that God's will be done, you can experience peace. He's at work in whatever situation you're facing for your good and His glory. Here's another lesson, verse 11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Here's the lesson. And that is, you should help carry the burdens of others. Now, we've alluded to this a little bit, but this is a little different than verse 8, in that verse 8 speaks of asking others to help with the burdens, whereas verse 11 speaks of the reality of sharing those burdens with someone who asks and helping them through whatever it is they may have. How do we do that? Well, prayer is key. Prayer is the key indicator of your dependence upon the Lord. Prayer is a key indicator of your dependence upon the Lord. And that's why I say, make it your first response. Whenever you're going through a difficult situation, make it your first response. God, I cry out to you. God, help me with this. Whether it's the hangnail or the Holocaust. God, help me. I cry out to you. I ask for your help. In fact, John MacArthur says, in prayer, human impotence casts itself at the feet of divine omnipotence. Isn't that good? You know, in prayer we realize, you know what? I am finite. I am impotent. I can't do this. Oh God, I need you. And you recognize the fact that He is all powerful. Wow. So, how's your prayer life? When someone comes to you, how can you help them? First of all, you can say, hey, let's pray. Let's pray. And I encourage you, pray. Pray with them. I am so blessed when I see in the hallways of the building here at church that when I see two or three people huddled in prayer, just let me pray for you. Let's make that our habit. When we're talking, we're sharing with one another, just say, hey, let's pray about that. And do it right here. Don't just say, okay, yeah, I'll do it. No, do it right here. Gather together in the pew after the service. Say, hey, let's pray. I want to pray for you. Man, that'll transform this ministry. It'll transform your heart. It'll communicate love and care for one another. Let's pray. Because we're dependent upon God, we can't do it. But it can also be a matter of practicality. To get involved practically, putting your, let me know if there is anything I can do or what can I do to help, into practice. Do you mean it? If you say, hey, can we give you a hand? Can we help you in some way? Then be ready to do that. Notice Paul says, you also must help us by prayer. That's what we just talked about. But listen to this. He also says, so that many will give thanks on our behalf. Thankfulness is also an indicator of the condition of your heart. Prayer with thanksgiving. It says a lot about our, and the thing is, it says a lot about your heart in the middle of the difficulty. Now, it may be difficult to say, oh God, thank you for this really difficult situation I'm going through. That may be difficult. But you know what you can do is you can look at all of the surrounding factors. Thank you, God, that I have a church family that's willing to help me through this. Thank you, Father, for the way you love me first of all, in and through Jesus Christ to provide salvation, to free me from that burden of sin. Thank you, God, for how you've provided. I think of the folks who went through the storm last night and suffered some damage. Thank you, God, for sparing our lives. To my knowledge, there was nobody who lost their life. Thank you, God. Thank you for your protection. And I pray for those who suffered the damage. There's so much for which we can be thankful. And thankfulness can change your heart, especially in relationship to your difficulties. It can change it from bitterness to blessing, from jealousy to joy, from anger to patience, from loneliness to love. God, thank you. And then you share in the blessings when someone for whom you've been praying shares an answer to their prayer, right? I think of the Rudolphs and the Kennetts. We were praying that their houses would sell, right? And initially we were praying that the Rudolphs would move here, and they went ahead and they moved before their house was, they thought the house was sold. And 3 days before closing, it fell through. And they were already moved. They were already here. We've been praying for the Rudolphs. We were praying for the Kennetts. Pray that their house sells. Just this last week, both houses closed. And they're here. Now, those of you who prayed for them, you're like, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, God. You answered our prayers. My point there is that if you have opportunity, and this is what Paul is teaching here, if you have opportunity to pray for someone who has a need when there are answers to prayer, you're blessed too. You prayed for that person. You were involved in that situation. And that's Paul says, you must pray. Help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf. So in all of this, I want you to be assured that the God of all comfort is active in the hardships of your life. God is there. God's involved. Whatever it is, be assured. The God of all comfort is active. He's at work. He hasn't forsaken you. He is with you. I think of Job. He had no clue why he was going through what he was going through. We know the rest of the story, right? We have this little glimpse that God has given us into the throne room of God to say, hi, that's what happened. That's why it happened. You can read about it in Job 1 and 2. And even at the end, Job's like, oh my. He spoke of things that he did not understand. Because God was telling him, you know what? I've got this. And whatever it is that you face, God's got it. You can trust Him. Life is hard. There are difficulties and challenges in life. But you can trust God. Let's ask for His help. Heavenly Father, we go through all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of challenges. We live in this world that has been so affected by sin. We live in these bodies that we suffer, and we have difficulties, and just all kinds of circumstances come upon us, and we struggle in relationships. And God, we've learned here today that You know, and You love, and You care. And because of that, we can trust You. You don't want us to continue being affected by sin. So You've provided salvation by Your love through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, help us to live our lives in light of these truths, trusting you through the challenges, the difficulties of this life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there may be someone here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, you're not certain of that salvation. We want you to be sure. We want to help you with that. And we have encourage everybody to fill out a connection card. You can do that from the pew in front of you or through YouVersion, the app on the phone, or through our website. And on that, you can say, I have questions. I'm not sure of salvation. I don't know I'm saved, or I need to get saved. And we'll be praying for you, and we'll get with you on that. And at the end of the service, when Jeremy has you stand, I'll be down front. If you'd like someone to pray with you or answer some questions, I'll be down front here. You're welcome to slip out. Or after the service, I'll be available to talk at the back of the worship center. Many of you have trusted Christ. You know of that salvation, but you're going through challenges, difficulties. I encourage you. Just jot that down. Share it with others. We have our prayer reminder. We publish that from the requests on our connection cards. If it's personal and private, check for pastors only. And as pastors, as elders, we'll be praying for you. And just, again, we're going to take an offering. You can place that connection card in the offering plate. And you know what? An offering is another way in which we express our dependence upon the Lord. Give as He has given to us. So I encourage you to consider that in your offering as well. Heavenly Father, continue to encourage our hearts, comfort our hearts, strengthen our hearts with these truths here today. In Jesus' name, amen.